we all could stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Let's just begin to welcome the Lord in tonight with a little bit of prayer, can we? Lord, we love you tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, to be here in this presence tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you begin to move in this house, Lord. Move upon each and every heart, Lord, every mind. Lord,
you cast a point of weary. Is your burden weighing heavy? Yeah.
Sorry, I need my lyrics.
Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Your shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way.
This is Freedom Month for every Sunday, so next Sunday will be Fresh Fire. You don't want to miss that. And then the following will be Brother John Proctor. There is a bassinet still in the foyer for Heath and Lexi Swain. There is also a volunteer interest form in the foyer, so you want to get signed up for that. go ahead and dive into something new. It's the time to do it, and we need volunteers. Also, VBS is going on, True North. That's been fun every Wednesday night, so the 30th will be the last night of that. July 18th, so this coming Saturday, is our summer movie night at 6 p.m., $5 per person. There will be a concession stand there, and our Outreach Alliance is doing that. This isn't just like a little TV screen. This is going to be Brother Coy's big Megatron screen, you know, and it's going to be on that. It's going to be a Christian family-based movie. And then, let's see, July 27th is also our nacho luncheon at the Family Center after service that morning, $6 a person. Kids under 3 eat for free, okay? So we got a lot going on. I know that if you saw on Facebook for our Ladies Fellowship, the Love and Coffee sadly closed down. So just wait for Sister Candy to tell us where it's going to be at, okay? All right, we'll go ahead and take our Wednesday night offering. That you would just minister to every heart, soul, and mind in this place, God. Be with the VBS, God, as it's going on. I pray that you would just help those children to absorb it. They may not even know what they're absorbing right now, but later it will come into key. God, I pray that you bless those that are here. Bless those that are watching online. Touch our pastors. He ministers, God. Give us ears to hear your voice and be sensitive to what you're calling and asking. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Oh, many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Stand one test alone. Oh, and I look at all the victories, and the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy.
And it's true.
river. Victory without fighting beneath the hill.
Together, Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's sing that chorus one more time, brother. Hallelujah, Jesus.
He never promised
that the cross would not get heavy, the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting. It would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up.
Yes, he will.
And he will take you through. Without fighting, but he said help would always come in time.
Yes, yes.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, the adversary says give in. Just hold on, our Lord will show up.
Aren't you glad he sees where you are? And that's not just something we sing about. Man, Gerald Crabb wrote a great song, but it's more than a song. And Isaiah wrote about it years ago when he said that when you walk through the fire won't burn you. When you walk through the waters, you will not be drowned. I read a post this week amidst all the tragedy that's happened in Central Texas in the past couple of weeks, and still receiving lots of rain and flooding, and they definitely need our prayers. But I read a post regarding Garner State Park and the Frio River. If you've ever been, I've been once, a beautiful place when it's not flooding. But West Texas, of course, is subject to drought and lots of things happening there due to don't rain that much. And I read this post from Garner State Park, and I just, it's just something ministered in my spirit, and I want to prayerfully be a blessing to someone before we get to the word of the Lord tonight. They said, and I quote, "The Frio received widespread 6 to 8 inches of rain to cause a 16-foot rise. The West Prong made a second crescent 5 hours after the first." This is what I want you to hear tonight. "This rain, this one rain alone, cleaned out 7 years of drought." 7 years they waited for the rain to come. 7 years they waited for the drought to be alleviated. And at one time, it was gone. What I'm saying is this, is you may have prayed for 7 years 10 years, 20 years.
Oh, hallelujah.
But one phone call can change it just like that.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory, they can walk back in the church service just like that. I feel faith here right now. Would someone just thank the Lord in advance for what God's going to do? That God, it's been a drought in my life. It's been a drought in my family. It's been a drought in my marriage, whatever it is. But God, I know the rain's going to fall again. Oh, I feel that tonight. God, I know, God, the healing balm of Gilead is going to move in my soul again, that you're going to bring healing and ministering power to my soul, to my mind, to my family, to my body. God, what I've been waiting for, what I've been praying for, I have faith, God. It just takes one spoken word. Oh. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for hearing us tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being a very present help. Would somebody reach out on a Wednesday night? I know it's Wednesday evening. Would you help me pray right now? Lord, I thank you, God, for hearing my prayer when I thought nobody heard my prayer. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Let me encourage somebody. He has heard every prayer you pray. Thank you, God, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, God, for knowing where I'm at tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Master. We worship you, God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. It's so good to be at church on a Wednesday night with you precious people. Amen. God bless you for coming on a midweek. We pray that this service is a blessing to you. Of course, our kiddos and lots of our adults are next door for Vacation Bible School, and we're praying for them tonight. And I'm so, so excited that at the conclusion of VBS tonight, we're baptizing little Amberlynn and Lakin. It's going to be a great night here at the UPC of Paris. Amen. Amen. They have expressed interest for several weeks now, I was told, and we're so thankful about that. Amen. I am a firm believer that a child can be baptized as long as they have understanding of what's going on. That's awesome. Amen. We're super excited to be doing this. And I know that VBS doesn't end at 8:30, and some of you have to work tomorrow. Maybe you can't stay to 8:30, but if you want to stay around, it'd be great. All of our kiddos will be here at 8:30. It's going to be a fun time. Baptism is supposed to be fun. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. It's being raised a new life in Christ, and we're so excited to do that tonight for these precious little girls in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need to get unplugged. Amen. Turn to somebody else and tell them, it'd be a good day. Okay, not in a hurry. Turn to somebody else. If there's an angel next to you, turn to the angel and tell them, it'd be a good day to get unplugged from the noise. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight on that subject, unplug from the noise. Let's just pray. Jesus, thank you for your word tonight. Bless us, anoint us, speak to us, bless this church, bless VBS. God, I thank you for your sweet presence that I feel tonight. God, thank you, God, for leading us into your presence through the worship and the singing of the word of your songs. God, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. God bless you and be seated. Amen. Never will forget, it was 2006. I was 20 years old and I had made the grand decision that I was going to go to Texas Bible College. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the cafeteria that day because our professor had told us, he said that when you come to class today, I expect all of you to have a scripture and a thought to present to your fellow brethren and sisters in Christ, and just have a small message title. And I'm ADD, so I'm lots of times last minute. And so it wasn't nothing clicking in my brain to about 7:55, and class started at 8:03. And I'm in the cafeteria eating my breakfast, and it was the strangest thing that morning. I had my laptop beside my Bible, and unbeknownst to me, somehow, I don't know how, but the plug-in of my laptop had got inside the pages of my Bible. And when I saw that, this thought just leapt in my brain, what are you plugged in to? And I thought, man, that's going to preach someday. What are you plugged into? And then the greater implied message was this, is what is distracting you? What are you plugged into that you can't seem to get plugged into my word? Now, I want to read a scripture. You don't have to stand for this tonight, but I want to read Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's kind of a funny passage of scripture when you see these two sisters going at it. And the Bible says this in verse 38, that it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and what'd she do? Heard his word. But Martha was what? She was distracted with much serving, and she approached him. Listen to what she said. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Notice what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you're troubled about many things. Verse 42 is the kicker. But one thing is needed, and guess what, Martha? It's not in the business that you think it's in. And that is Mary has chosen that, what? That good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was busy. Martha thought she was doing a good thing, and she was to a degree, but she missed the main picture, and that was when Jesus is in the room, he's always the main attraction. When Jesus is in your house, getting ready to serve food in this day in the flesh, it's not what matters the most, Martha. What matters the most, Martha, is that you get your attention focused on him and on him alone. I think you would agree tonight that we are constantly surrounded by, everyone said, noise. Now it's a quiet Wednesday night. Everyone say noise. Noise comes from everywhere, and it's constantly interrupting us. Drown out everything. Play that one more time if you would. I want to ask a question before I get in this message. Anybody know what I just said? I just said, if I tell you to follow me, will you follow me? And maybe Brother Griffith, if you're a lip reader, are you? Kind of maybe. Maybe he heard me. But 99% couldn't hear me. Anyone know why? Because of noise. I read a quote that says, we become great multitaskers. We've learned to hold, semi-hold, a conversation while updating Facebook and sending a text to so-and-so. We've learned to eat supper and spend time with our families while being on our devices simultaneously. A funny but true quote said this, I'm convinced if there were aliens, now some of you may be on Instagram and Twitter and that's all it is about aliens and whatever your conspiracy brain says, great. But this funny quote said, I'm convinced if there were aliens in the world today, and if they looked in on us Americans, I'm totally sure they would report back to their head alien and say, the Americans worship these weird devices in their hands called Apple and Samsung. They constantly bow their heads to them, and when they go off, they jump to get them. Apple and Samsung are who they bow to before they go to sleep, and it's who they wake up to every single morning. A great question to ask on this Wednesday night is simply this: who rules in our lives? I read a quote that I thought was powerful, and it was this. One of the devil's greatest tools today that he's using against Christian America is not gross sin, although he'd love to get you into that type of stuff. But one of his greatest tools, and perhaps the number one tool he's used in this particular age, is that word called distraction. Distraction is killing us. Kids are being raised thinking that it's normal. Our society is obsessed with trivia, games, social media, things of the world. And to go a step farther, and this is not my message tonight per se, but maybe I can tag a little bit to Sunday's message about the family, but it should be said that to combat this attack, distraction is destroying homes. Distraction is destroying marriages. It is destroying our focus. You may ask, how is it doing this? And I won't just talk about your devices. It's a whole lot bigger than that. But just to give some foundation here, a survey was taken, a study was done of 2,000 married couples aged 18 to 55, and they found that 37% say their spouse is often on their phone when they want and desire to connect. That number jumps to 44% for couples under the age of 35. There is a thing called phone snubbing when it means you are ignoring your spouse by using your phone, and 46% in the survey said their partner does this. 22% said it caused problems within their relationship. Families are distracted at an all-time high. Studies show that almost half of dinner time is spent distracted by our phones. And this, of course, we know it weakens the family conversations and it weakens connection. We know that in the scriptures, distraction is not listed as one of those, thou shalt not be distracted. But we also know that if it's not addressed, distraction can cause spiritual harm, and it can become an idol when it pulls our heart away from God. In our text today, we read where Jesus told Martha that, Martha, your issue is that you're worried, you're anxious about many things. He said, but the problem is you're worried about the wrong thing. You're distracted about the wrong things. Only one thing is necessary, and that is putting your full attention on me and my purpose and my plan. I think we'd agree that distraction reveals what we really love. Renowned Bible scholar John Piper said, distraction often amounts to idolatry. Loving countless lesser things more than God. It reveals the true object of our affection. The writer of Proverbs said in chapter 4, verses 25 through 27, let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look right before you. But notice this. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. 27's key. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Do not let distractions turn you away from keeping the main thing, as Brother Tenney said, the main thing. You have to make sure that your focus is on Him and on Him alone. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, church, guard your heart. For everything you do comes out of the heart, flows from it. Paul said at the end of 1 Corinthians 7:35, what you really need is you need undivided devotion to the Lord. Distraction, even accidental distraction, it can become a pattern and it can lead to our hearts. We've all done it being unguarded. That is why it is absolutely vital that we practice, that we must discipline ourselves in unplugging, if you will, from the noise of the world that is around us. Jesus himself, God manifest in the flesh. Even he understood that he had to unplug from the noise, even when he was busy about doing the work of the Lord. In Luke 5, 12 through 16, it tells us that Jesus, he does all of these healing and miracles, but verse 16 says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and there he prayed. Another example, Jesus had done many miracles, the Bible said, at sunset, and the scriptures let us know that early the next morning, while it was still dark, that Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off, the Bible says, to a solitary place where he prayed. Another instance, Jesus, he is teaching us the value of unplugging, but he's going to show us that it's not just him who is God. He's going to teach his disciples the necessity of unplugging from the world. The Bible says in verse 30 of Mark 6, the apostles gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all they had done and taught. It was a great time together. It was a camp meeting atmosphere. They had had great revival, many miracles, many signs, many wonders. And verse 31 says that then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. This is what Jesus said. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Again, these people who were plugged in to the work of God, that it was that Jesus told them, you cannot be the hero all the time. You cannot have it all together every day. There has to come a time in your life that you understand the value of unplugging from everything that is trying to vie for your attention. There comes a time in your life that you have to realize the busyness of life can become a great distraction in your world. Peter in Scripture, if you study the Bible, he was so gung-ho to get over the side of the boat. He was ready to do a great thing for God. The Bible says he asked the Lord, can I come where you are? Do you mind if I get out there and try this walking on water stuff? And the Bible says he stepped out of the boat and man, everything was great. Everything was good. He had his eyes locked on Jesus. He was headed in the right direction, Brother King. But the Bible says that when he got distracted, when he became unplugged from the main thing, anybody know what happened? What happened? He began to sink. He began to drown. Because when you realize that you really can't do it by yourself, you really can't do this thing called living for God by yourself. You'll get your brains beating every day if you don't learn the value that I got to unplug from some things every morning when I get up. I have to make sure my mind is focused on Him and on Him alone. And Peter learned a valuable lesson that day. We saw it, or he saw it in the natural, but the greater principle, the underlying principle that's implied to us is this. There's going to be storms in your life. There's going to be trials that come against you. There's going to be times you get things, phone calls you didn't want to hear, diagnoses you didn't want to see have happen. There's going to be times when family turns their back on you and jobs fall out from under you. But the Lord said it's in times like that, be sure that you don't get distracted. Be sure that you don't let the storms become so large and so big that they distract you, because you have to know I am the God who's on top of the waves. I am the God who's on top of the storm, and you've got to focus on me, focus on my purpose, focus on my plan, and know that if I brought you to it, I will bring you through it. David was a great king, but just had a problem. He became distracted by lust, and it cost him dearly. Not only did he pay the great consequence of being distracted for a season by an adulterous spirit, but that season cost him his kids, because the Lord said what you've done in secret is going to be revealed in the open. And sure enough, it wasn't long after that judgment fell. But it was all because of a distraction. Solomon, who was David's son, was a great king. He was the wisest man, the Bible said, who has ever lived. But even Solomon became distracted by foreign wives, the Bible said, and by idol worship. I read a verse of scripture today while preparing for this lesson tonight, and it really got a hold of me. If you read, and we'll put it on the screen, I believe I have that for them, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, and then 9 through 11, it says this, "For it was so." What's that next line say? When Solomon was, now I don't know what you think old is. I told you at the lake property, I'll let you decide that. It could be 85, it could be 55, I don't know. Some folks feel old at 45. I don't know what that is for you in your world, but when Solomon was old, he had a problem. That problem was his wives turned his heart after other gods. He had it right all of his life. He lived right. He did right. He had it all together. That's, and I ain't got time to preach this tonight, but you hear me tonight. The adversary is a cunning, slippery snake. Amen. If he can't trip you up in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s, he can let one word be spoken at 75 that messes your entire world up. And all of a sudden, bitterness and anger and hating, and you go to your grave with things in your spirit. Well, I feel Jesus talking on Wednesday night. Good God. And hear me, and if you ain't careful, at the end, you can be distracted by the noise of bitterness, by the noise of hate, by the noise of revenge, by the noise of anger, by the noise of, and hear me someone, of I got to get even before I go to the grave. You better leave that in the hand of God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now here, I felt it. And that don't mean, oh, God's going to get them. God's going to cook their hide. Vengeance from God may look like God convicting them and telling them you better get it right and repent, and they repent and they're saved just like you're saved. Did you know when we get to heaven, the person you hate right now, if they repented, they're going to be in heaven too. And there won't be a camp for the people you didn't like over there and one over there. If you couldn't eat, and I'm way off my notes right now, but you just stay with old Brad. I've seen good-hearted people get distracted by racism. And the noise of racism ate them alive because they couldn't eat with a black man or Hispanic man because they didn't look like me. Let me just news flash you, buddy. When you get up there, the black folks, the white folks, Hispanic folks, Asians, they won't be a color. The blood is the only thing that Jesus sees. It's the only thing the devil sees. But what he does, he's got into our churches, he's got into our communities, and he somehow tried to divide us over the distraction, the noise of race. That ain't the Lord, sweetheart. That is an enemy trying his best to keep you out of heaven. Well, that's how I was raised. I was born in the 1960s and 70s. You don't know what I know. Well, I know a whole lot more than you know because the book's more smarter than you are. And the book said you can't go with that stuff in your spirit. If you can't worship with them here, you won't worship with them there. Well, good God. Point is this, as the Bible says, when he was old at the end of his life, and it should be every day, because I could be out of this thing in the next 30 minutes. God could take me out like that. It should be. I'm always ready to go. But even more so, take introspection of your life every day. Now, God, I don't know what old is in God's eyes or old is in your eyes, whatever it is. Lord, Solomon had a problem. He was right for a season, but he missed it at the end. When he was old, his wives turned his heart. And his heart, hear me, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. You know what that even means right there? Anyone even know what that, even that last part? I'm going to tell you what it means. David repented, and Solomon never did. David was loyal through his repentance. God, I'm the man. I'm a sinner. I messed up. And God said, thou shalt not die. I've erased your charge this very day. I circumvented the law. I stepped in with mercy and grace and said, you can't die right now because your heart was right. But Solomon was not loyal to the Lord because he never repented. I feel a breaks right here. Somebody please tonight ask the Lord to forgive and move on from that. And if need be, ask the person to forgive and get over it today. Verse 9 says this. This is God's had it with Solomon. The Lord became angry with Solomon. Watch this. Because his heart had turned, distracted from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him. He told him twice. Read it. When he first appeared to Solomon in the dream that night, and when Solomon dedicated the temple, God gave him two warnings. You best not ever follow after other gods. God warned him two times. I've told you twice. Do not go that route. Do not become distracted. Why did God say that? Because God knows all things. And God knew there would come a day when this temptation would rise up in him. God knew there was a thing in his spirit that had not been dealt with. God knew there were some things in his life that if he didn't get it under control, it would ruin him in the end. And sure enough, God told him, I'm mad at you. I'm tired of this, Solomon. I've told you two times in verse 10. And he commanded him concerning this thing. Done told you what it is, Solomon. That he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, verse 11, the Lord told Solomon, because you've done this, and because you didn't keep my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, watch this, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. What could have been turned around instead led to a pit that Solomon could never recover from. On page 15 of my notes, just stay with the preacher, all right? You hear me, someone, right now. You're at a place, because I know how the Lord operates. He always gives mercy and grace. And I'm no one special, but I know enough about God to know that if God sends his word, he's sending mercy. And what God is saying, there's still time for you to turn around from that and get out of the pit you put yourself into. There's still time. Solomon had a time in his life when he could have got out of it, when he could have turned around, when he could have made it right. But he got to a place at the end of his life to where he was so given over to it. Remember this. Sin means you miss the mark. That's all it means. You mess up. You flub up. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What happens? Forgiven. What does iniquity mean? Anyone know? Iniquity means sin that you don't repent of any longer. It's just nonstop in your life. You don't even have a conscience against it anymore. It used to bother you, then it stopped bothering you. Be very careful with stuff like that when you start going against what God said in his word, and all of a sudden you get to a place to where you say, well, I'm not convicted of that stuff anymore. Be very careful with that. Because you can turn into something called iniquity, where iniquity, you have to realize that is a root that gets buried in your spirit. And that stuff can only be dug out with your realization, I got a problem. God will convict. God will send his word. But I'll say it for the 30th time that I've been here. He will not make you do anything. God is a gentleman. God will come to you in love and in mercy and in grace. He'll give you everything you need to get out. But then it's up to you to walk out of it. Then it's up to you to make up your mind. I'm not living with this in my spirit. I'm not living with this hate, with this anger, with this bitterness. I'm not living with this jealousy. I'm getting this distraction, this noise out of my spirit. We know that Solomon, in this particular text, it's speaking of actual idols, that he would worship these wooden statues and his pursuit of the worldly women of that day. But today, I understand that you and I aren't at the altars of wooden statues worshiping wooden images carved by someone's hand. But the Word of God, if you read it, it's so powerful. It applies to every single generation. And I think I can say, and you'll agree with me, that there are many things in our lives that can seem harmless, but they can become snares. And the snares, in turn, can become idols. It's a scripture I've preached for several times already. When in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, it talks about, he's speaking of being surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And he mentions that verse where he says, but just you need to lay aside every weight and sin. Lay aside every distraction that so easily, King James says, besets us, or that so easily keeps on tripping you up. Keeps on causing you to have the noise we started with at the beginning of service, and I may get in this in a few minutes, but when that noise is so loud in your mind, when you are distracted by the world and all the things in the world, hear me, you can't properly hear the voice of God. And if you do hear it, it's a muddy voice that you hear. And God says you got to make sure you cut off any of these ties, any of these things that keep on harming, that keep on ensnaring you. And I understand that you and I may never literally bow to an idol, but when distraction becomes more than our daily devotion to God, it becomes an idol, just like that of Solomon. When I become more fixated on the thing, on the things of this world. Remember this, the Bible says that we are of this world, or we're in this world, but we are not. We're just pilgrims. We're not to get tied to this world. We're not to become married to this world. We are to understand that this world is not my home, the old song said. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The Lord said in Exodus, speaking to the children of Israel, you shall have no other little g gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, nor bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, I'm a jealous God. I visit, now this is Old Testament, but the principle applies. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of those who hate me. The principle is that God will never be in competition with anything in your life. He's either number one or he's nothing. He either is or he's not. Amen? You have to know that, God, I have to unplug myself. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. In context, John was warning believers to stay away from anything that takes God's place in your heart, even good things like family, money, career, or hobbies. John Piper again had a powerful quote when he said, anything in the world that successfully competes with our love for God, it is an idol. Everyone said moderation. Moderation and wisdom are key to avoiding meaningless distractions. If you read 1 Corinthians 6:12, Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. Now, if you read that, I believe it's in the King James, there's quotations that say all things are lawful. When he said that, that was not Paul's words. He was repeating a slogan that the Corinthians had came up with. And they were trying to exercise their freedom of grace and their freedom from the law, saying, we can do anything. And Paul said, you say that all things are lawful. You say all you can do all of these things. You've adopted this slogan of all things are lawful for men, and that Christian freedom means I can do anything I please. And even they were even justifying it for harmful behaviors. But Paul said, listen, you gotta understand something. Not everything is beneficial. Something may be allowed, but it doesn't mean it's helpful or wise for your life. Paul said, I've learned not to be mastered by anything. Don't let what's lawful become a controlling or an enslaving habit. This thing may not be sin. It may not be a bad thing. It may not be a harmful thing when it starts. But if it becomes to be a repeated cycle to where God becomes second in your life and God takes a back seat, he said, you better make sure it's not mastering your life. You better make sure just because you can, if you can't handle it, you best not do it. If you can't take it, it's best not to even go there. If you can't watch that, or if you can't go to this on your phone, it's best not to do it. Just because something is permitted doesn't mean it's good for you or others. Even lawful choices can become means of control and pulling us away from wise living. I love this. True freedom is disciplined freedom. That's guided by wisdom and not someone who is impulsive. Again, Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any of these things. This is kind of an old school take, but I'm old school at 39, I don't know. But I was raised enough to know, and I think most of you were raised enough to know, that when it says don't let anything become the master over you, that means anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care how harmless it is. I don't care if Brother Tanner can do it. If my flesh can't handle it, I don't want no part of it. Now, I'm all off here tonight, but you hear me. Everybody said convictions. There's going to be convictions I have that you don't have. But there's black and white in Scripture, and I ain't going there tonight, but then there's lots of gray areas in Scripture. Well, there's some things I do that you ain't got to do, and don't sit on a high horse because you do something and someone else doesn't and think you're somehow God. That ain't good either. God gives you wisdom. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, will lead and guide you into all truth, and you shall receive power after he comes on you. He'll lead you and he'll guide you if you let him. If you allow him to, and so my point is, it's important that when God convicts me of something, when God says, this is goofy, Brad, you can't eat Doritos because you'll eat the whole bag. And he's right about that. And I can eat three bags, you know. And, but Brother Griffith has mastered Doritos. And he allows himself only three a night. Whereas if I see the bag, I know I'm coming for you in the midnight hour. And all YouTube to 3 in the morning watching documentaries on aliens and everything else and be one of those commenters that said, how did I get here at 3 in the morning? Point is, Paul is making a point, don't be mastered by anything. I don't care. You may think, well, that's foolish what they're doing. They have this conviction or they don't do this or they don't go there. That's so. Be careful before you start judging someone's life who has certain disciplines you don't have. That's okay they have that. It's God working on them. What is God doing? It's Scripture. Work out your own salvation. With what? Now that fear is not, oh, God's going to kill me. It is, God, I love you so much and I reverence you so much. The preacher may not even preach about it, God, but you told me you can't do that. Okay, God, I want to be saved. Let me just ask you this because I feel a stop right here. Who are you coming to church for? Is it just to fill a pew? Is it just to check a box? Is it just the preacher saw me or my friend saw me? Is it just for a social club? Is it just because it's for your friend? If that's why you're coming, the noise is loud in your brain. You're being distracted and you don't even realize it. You're being distracted by all these things, thinking that this is where I connect. I get connections here. I know people and I get to know. No. Be very careful. If your main reason for coming is for stuff like that, you're in the right place, but have the wrong reasons. And God is saying, you have to make sure that I am the only one that you're here for. It doesn't matter how you look, how you act, but you, no. I'm here for Jesus and him alone. Amen. So it's okay if God gives you convictions or if God talks to you about things. Just my point is true freedom, again, is disciplined freedom. It's learning, God, I've got to be saved. I've got to make sure I'm not brought under the power of any of these things. In other words, God, I'm going to practice moderation. I'm not going to let my distractions in my life become a snare to me. In Ecclesiastes 2, Solomon had, he said, he had everything that a guy could ever want in this world. But at the end, if you read Ecclesiastes 2, 10 through 11, he ends it by saying, after I had all these things, Brother Lawrence, I found out every bit of it's meaningless. It don't do me any good. It doesn't get me anywhere. At the end, it's just stuff. It fades away. It rusts away. I've learned, Solomon said in his younger years, that having everything is not really having everything. Hello. Having everything is not really having everything. You can have the greatest whatever in the world and think, man, I've arrived. I've got it. But yet, Martha, you've missed the one thing that matters the most. You've busied your life. You've lived in a constantly noise-filled world of always trying to please everybody, of always trying to get ahead, of always trying to keep up with the Joneses, of always trying to do all these things. And the Lord said, you've been distracted, Martha, by the wrong things. If you get joy, God help me tonight. If you think, well, my joy comes from that, you're in the wrong business. Because that stuff is fleeting. That stuff can leave like that. And what gives you joy, I didn't sing this tonight, but it's on my heart all day today, that the old song, Jesus, He's the center of my joy. Everything good that comes to me comes from Him. Doesn't come from my finance, doesn't come from my car, doesn't come from the great vacation, whatever it is you do. And that's all great if you do, and you should. Just make sure it doesn't master you. Well, glory. I read a quote that said, every good things, even good things, can become stumbling blocks if they're used without moderation. Now, this is a good one right here. Chocolate is good, but too much chocolate is unhealthy. Sleep is necessary, but Proverbs said that too much sleep leads to poverty. He said, everything's got to be done in moderation. Everything. Children, if you watch them, they're naturally immoderate. They want the same movie over and over. They want to eat too much of the same thing. Hear me right here. Maturity means learning to say no to yourself. It's learning the value of moderation. I'm going to say that again. Maturity, when you start growing in Christ, and I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, and we're going to land this plane at 8 o'clock, but hear what I'm telling you. If you are still right here, and you've been serving Christ for 30 years, and you've never gained or grown what's called sanctification, you've not let God grow you, you've not let God mature you, if you haven't, something's wrong with that picture. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's just you've not let God grow you. And that's a sign that people who become mastered by all these things and they let all these distractions hold them back, that tells me something. It's called spiritual immaturity. It's not learning to discipline themselves, not learning to say no to my flesh. My flesh wants to do whatever it wants to do. Anybody besides me ever got up, and when you got up that day, you felt the Spirit prompt you, you should fast today. Anybody ever done that before? One person. We're going to pray tonight, and God's going to get everybody to fast tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen. I've had some days, not all the time, I'm not some super spiritual dude, but I've had some days where I've gotten up, and I felt the prompting of the Holy Ghost. You need to fast today. And God's so good at being God, Sister Lisa, He didn't tell me why He wanted me to fast. And that bothered me because I want to know, if I'm fixing to sacrifice God, and I can't eat what I want to eat today, and I can't do, I want to know why. And sometimes God just goes in silent mode, incognito. I don't know why He told me to do it. But there's been some days, and something happened recently where I felt, you need to fast today. And I said, oh, God, I even ate a banana and drank a cup of coffee. And when I finished, I felt it. Now, you ain't going to eat nothing the rest of this day. I thought, my God, I got to fast. Why? I'm just being honest. I was arguing with God. I don't want to fast today. Well, you're the preacher. Well, bless God, I'm a man just like you a man and you're a woman and I have bad days too, okay? So have some mercy on the preacher. Didn't want to fast, but I'm now glad I did. A little something blew in that day spiritually. And when I look back the next day, I realize, whew, thank God. I don't know what it is about fasting, but it calms the noise. I can hear better in the spirit. Whew, I feel Him here tonight. I there's something about it. It just calms my spirit. And when the storm blew in, I had authority. Say, no, I'm not yielding to you today. I'm not giving into that spirit or that thought today. What was that? Nothing to do with Brad. I'm nobody. I have lots of days where I told God I'd fast and I ate 34 cheeseburgers nearly that day and God just shook His head. I have had those days. But I do know in all sincerity that a sign of spiritual maturity is learning to discipline and master the body. What are you doing? You're cutting out distractions, Paul. Paul, why? You're the greatest apostle to ever live. You wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, if you believe you wrote Hebrews. He's one of the greatest guys to ever walk. History says, it's not Bible, history says that he ran to the chopping block. What man in their right mind would run? Well, Paul wrote about it. To die is gain. I've learned it. You want to know why Paul could say that? It's found in the scriptures. Paul said, I die every day. Every day I get up, I say, Brad, no to distractions today. Because it could be when I'm walking somewhere, the Holy Ghost says, tell that man I still love him. And if the noise is so loud from all the stuff in my world, I didn't have it tonight. I'm a weird guy. I like props. But I'd like to be tied about 50 different things right now. Because you hear me, sports aren't wrong. Watching a good Christian show is not wrong. You having a great time is not wrong. Please, your career is not bad. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's when I'm being pulled by all of these things. It's when everything is vying for my attention and God said, hey, Brad! Hey, Brad! And it's like a while ago. You can't hear what I'm saying, can you? I was actually calling Tanner's name, but he didn't hear me. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. Just couldn't hear. Noise was too loud that day. Work, problems, struggles, trials, whatever. We all have them. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. But the Lord is saying there comes a time in your life, Paul, where you have to cut it away. And like Jesus, you have to learn, before I get up, before my day starts, before I leave my house today, I'm fixing to unplug for about 30 or 40 minutes. And God knows how many times I've set to pray with this thing. And I ended up on ChatGPT, Fox News, Google, and I realized you prayed 3.4 minutes and you spent the other 34 minutes looking at goofy stuff. So God says, when you unplug, maybe leave that in the bedroom, go to the front room, close the door, turn the phone off, turn the alarms off. Hello? Don't look at the TV. Don't even turn the crazy thing on. And just sit down and get quiet. And see, after you do this a while, Mama and Daddy, if the Lord can't start talking to you again. Well, I can't hear his voice. His voice seems so distant. His voice seems so muddy. It doesn't mean you're backslid, friend. Hear me. It just means you're plugged into so many things right now that you cannot adequately discern the voice of God. And the only way I know that I've learned, and I don't have time for it tonight, there's fasting, there's praying, but the one thing I've learned about the voice of God is the way you start discerning it again, the way you start hearing it again, is you start unplugging things. As you start separating yourself from some things. I feel it. It may not be sinful, but if it keeps on distracting me, God, I got to take some time away from that. Never forget Brother Craig Adams. About 10 years ago, I was in Day Z. I called him one night. We were talking about some things, and he told me something I never forgot before. He never forgot since. He said, Brad, there's going to be times when the Holy Ghost tells you no for a season. He said, it may not be forever. He said, but it's God's way of getting you to unplug from that distraction. And when he does it, obeying. Well, the Bible don't say. No. Who cares what the Bible says? He's trying to work on you. He's trying to talk to you. Listen to the voice of God. When we're not living in moderation, when we lack self-control in a certain area of our lives, it can indicate that we're not allowing God full control in that area. Now, I want to close with this. I'm over tonight, and please forgive me. We're going to baptize someone at 8:30, but I promise I will not go to 8:30. Everyone say moderation. Did you know that moderation is a fruit of the Spirit? You know that? There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. King James calls it temperance, but it's moderation or it's self-control. Okay? Paul is saying one of the fruit. How you know you have the Holy Ghost, Paul said. One of the ways you know is there's moderation in your life. I keep feeling this word, maturity. God's trying to make some people mature in the Spirit. And one of the ways you get mature in the Spirit is you got to start letting the Holy Ghost have full access. Again, it's the Apostle Paul. Be filled with the Spirit. That word filled means be fully controlled by him. Let him lead and guide you in every area of your life. So we start morning with prayer. We disconnect from our phones. I even encourage you, if you don't read the Bible in the morning when you pray, just take one proverb a day. Well, whatever you got to do to just get in the book, get in the Word, and start reading that. You'd be surprised. I'm surprised. My wife's told me stories, and some of you have done this. When I'm just in my regular daily reading, and lots of times the preacher may preach on that on Sunday or Wednesday. I'm thinking, man, how it was just regular reading the Bible. How did he know what I was? He didn't know. Just God knew. And God orchestrates us, and God directs our steps. And how many times have I been in my regular reading, and I needed God to speak to me? And I opened it up, and boom, there it was that day. That's how good God is at being God. God says, unplug yourself from some things. Take some time in the morning. Pray. I'll never forget Elder G.A. Mangan. They said before he ever left his house in the morning to go to POA to start his day in prayer, he'd spend 45 minutes in repentance before he left the house. Just in case, he said, I don't make it to the church, I know my heart's right with God. Now, you can always expect that when you start getting rid of distractions, the devil's going to raise his head. He'll do everything he can to lure you back into that snare called distraction. I'll end with these verses. Let's all stand. Jesus said, seek ye first. I told you this a few weeks ago. We taught a lesson on first things first. I never forget it. I was going to preach a youth rally one night in Kirbyville, Texas. I was in the living room floor of a double-wide trailer. I can take you to where I was at on 4 Suncrest Circle, pouring my heart out to God. And this verse of scripture came to mind about seek first the kingdom. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Brad, when your kingdom goes, my kingdom can come. Brad, when your pride goes, when your arrogance goes, Brad, when your jealousy goes, Brad, when your egotistical mindsets go, Brad, I can speak again in your life. The psalmist said, those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91, I read it every day. What a powerful psalm. You are sheltered in Him if you'll learn to dwell with Him. If you'll learn that, God, I've got to get away with you in the morning. Hide me, the old song said, in the cleft of the rock. Psalm 63 said, early will I seek you. Jesus said, enter into your closet and shut the door. What does that mean, church? Cut off the noise. I told you last week, I asked every dad, I hope you did. If you didn't, do it next Monday. Take your family Monday night. Just take 10 minutes. Just pray with them. Stop what you're doing. We're too busy. Well, then you're too busy. Don't have time. Well, you need to make time. The greatest thing you'll ever leave the next generation, hear me, is what was developed and given to them spiritually. Take 10 minutes. We're going to pray. Well, I'm watching. I'm on my device. Well, shut that crazy thing down. It probably needs to burn anyways. Amen. Take 10 minutes. We're going to pray. That they may sit there. My kids, they'll do backflips. I get stressed out when we try to pray together because praying is not praying at my house. Jathan's upside down on the couch, feet on the wall, doing gymnastics in the house. Facts. Sometimes they'll get spiritual and they may lay hands on somebody. Just depends what kind of night we're having that night. Just depends. We'll pray. We finish. Just get one chapter. This week was Psalm 85. Just read Psalm 85. They don't understand it. They don't know. That's okay. What are you doing? I'm letting them know. We got to silence the noise here right now. I'm letting them know on this night we're going to carve out just a few minutes. It ain't going to be long. Now, it may be God breaks in and the Holy Ghost moves in a powerful way. Great if He does. And if He does, just move with it. Well, what if I start speaking in tongues? Well, glory to God. Move with it. Flow with it. Let it be said, Brother Price. Let it be said, my good Brother Calico, that when they lay us across here and we're gone, that my kids say, He was a worshiping man. He was constant. God ain't looking for the loudest worshiper, but he's looking for the most consistent worshiper. Worship is a whole lot bigger than doing this and jumping and running. Worship is a lifestyle. It's what I do every single day of my life. So I challenge you. I know I've gone way too long. I challenge you. Make sure you silence the noise, Dad, on a Monday night. And for all of you, not families, just individuals, every individual should be tomorrow morning. You wake up, the phone stays in the room, TV stays off. And just take, if you don't pray a lot, well, then just start with 15 minutes, all right? Just take 15 minutes. Well, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. Sometimes that's okay. If you don't know what to say, I just challenge you, get the Word of God out and just pray the Word. Open the book of Psalms and just start praying the book of Psalms. Man, you can get in the vein of the Spirit real quick praying the book of Psalms. But prayer has always been communication. I told you, when Jen and I were dating in TBC, I'd sit for hours and listen to her breathe. Remember that? We just talk on the phone. I just want to hear her voice. And she ain't got to say much, but we just sit. Because why? I wanted to be with her. And sometimes with God, it's not how many words you say. It's just presence. I'm here, God. If you want to speak, it's Brad again. I promise you, you start meeting God at 6:30 every morning. If you miss a morning, he'll wake you up. Brother Huey Rowyer, he'll come preach for us in the future, maybe. Powerful, powerful elder preacher of the gospel. Years and years ago, his daddy was off in the war, and his grandfather told him the story. Your daddy was in the war, hadn't heard from him. World War II, hadn't heard from him in weeks. We thought he was dead. He said, I prayed one morning. I said, God, would you please bring my boy back home? He said, this is what he said. Lord, if you'll bring him home, I promise I'll get up every morning at 4 o'clock and I'll pray to the day I die. And the Holy Ghost spoke immediately and said, and if I don't bring him home? He said, all right, Lord, you got me. I'll get up every morning at 4 o'clock to the day I die. He said when he said it, there was a knock on the front door. And when he opened the front door, there was boy was standing at the front door. And Brother Rowyer told me, he said, all right, God, if you did it for my grandfather, the day he died at 4 o'clock, he said, God, if you bring my daddy home, I'll do it. He said, but Lord, I'll do it at 4 o'clock every morning. He said, but God, I'm not setting the alarm. If you want me, you got to get me up. That's been 30 or 35 years. He said, God's never missed a morning without waking me up. He said, God even knows when the time changes. There's something about consistency. When you say, all right, God, I'm gonna give you 15 minutes today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. It turns to 30. Before you know it, you'll be an hour and a half. And then you'll say things like, I wonder where the time went. There's days I pray, Sister Denise, I can pray 10 minutes, feels like 10 hours. Then there's days I prayed where I could have stayed forever. When I get in those type moments, it's got to be a small glimpse of heaven. When I prayed at times, and when I came to, I thought, I didn't know what time was. I didn't know what time it was. I didn't know where I was at. I may have been back here when I started, ended up over here. I was free of distractions. That's why in heaven there'll be no more distractions. Good God. Woo! The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, there he'll be seated high and lifted up. John said, I saw one seated on that throne. Then when I get there, like the apostles of old and the elders of old, I want to take my crown and cast it at his feet and say, Lord, thank you for helping me unplug. Thank you, God, for setting me free of the noise. Thank you, God, for giving me strength. Why don't we just lift our hands and they sing a chorus through the day? Jesus, we love you, God. Would you ask the Lord, help me, God. Help me, God, to be free of the noise. Free of the distractions, God. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. I'm coming back, Jesus. Folks, come on. The Holy Ghost trying to speak tonight. Help me, God. I'm sorry, Lord.
about you.
Come on, one more time.
Jesus, I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Thank you, God. Thank
where
you, God.
It's all about you,
Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry,
Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Jesus, we love you, Lord. Help us, God, to unplug from the noise, oh God. Help us, oh God, lay aside every weight, every sin, God. Help us, God, to be free of distractions. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I assure you, friend, if you get free of distractions, if you get free of weights, free of worldly desires, things that keep on pulling you back in, things that keep on ensnaring, I promise you, the voice of God is on the heels of that, because when you're free of the clutter, your mind can think again, your spirit's free, your spirit's clear. That's what God wants in this church. You believe that tonight? God wants this church to be a church free from the noise. It needs to be that as Sister Kylie is singing and the preacher's over here, that if the noise is down in her life, the Lord can speak to her and say, now go tell so-and-so. And it's not just the preacher having to do it. It's people in the audience getting understanding. God can use me to help somebody else when I unplug myself. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, get unplugged. Come on, tell them, get unplugged. Man, unplug yourself from the noise of this world. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being in service on a Wednesday evening. And VBS should be in here, I guess, in a couple of minutes. And we're going to baptize a couple of our babies tonight. Super excited about that. Amen. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we'll now transition to this part of the service. Love and appreciate you, folks. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Praise you. Hallelujah, Jesus.